2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let's begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We'll read down from verses number 13 through the end of the chapter here. Verse number 13 down to the end of the chapter. It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the holy name of the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are two names I'm not going to pronounce." You can figure that out. I butchered it for the last 2 weeks. "The Lord give grace, Lord give mercy unto the house of another guy, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to deal with two words, hold fast. Lord, we are again are grateful that we're able to be here this morning. I pray that you would just challenge us from your word. I pray that we'd all be enlightened, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. You folks glad to be alive this morning? Say amen. All right. Sometimes what I go through, I know that you're not always tired and seem dead, but when I'm up here and there, I see no reaction, it kind of bothers me a little bit. So that's why I got to do, hey, is everybody alive? Amen. Hey, do you believe in the KJV? Amen. Hey, do you like being here in church? Amen. So I enjoy those things. So here we're going to go and refresh just a little bit. We left off last week with this phrase, hold fast to sound doctrine. Hold fast means someone or something will try to steal the truth from you. Nobody in here, I believe, likes to be a victim of being robbed by somebody. Could we agree on that? I remember years ago, Chris and I, we first got married. We're living in Sherwood Apartments down here by the east end of town. And most of you folks remember Kmart. Kmart is no longer there. Bomb guards took that place over. And I tell you what, when you start talking about the old days, it makes you feel old a little bit. I remember Kmart. But I remember we lived there for the first 6 months of our married life. And we had a little two-seater car. I love this car, but it was called a Fiero GT. Anybody remember me having that sports car? I love that car. That car had a booming stereo system in there, too. It went out every once in a while, and I had to hit the side of the console to get it to come back in. But I remember one particular morning, I was getting up to go to work, and for some reason, I had a habit of going down into the laundry room, because the laundry room was the second story down, and we all shared in that complex, and there's some windows in there. And so I always had a habit of going down there just to see if my car was still there. I don't know why I had that habit, but I remember going down there one particular morning, and I remember why I had that habit. My car was a stick shift, and I remember one morning I walked out there, and where I parked my car wasn't there. It slid down the hill. I don't know how that happened. So I got in a habit of doing that. That's why that happened. So I remember going down there one morning, and I looked out, and my car was gone. Somebody broke into my car. They hotwired it, and then they took it for a joyride. And I remember my feeling that day. It was like, how could somebody have the meanness to go and take somebody else's property? And I felt violated. I was mad. It was our only source of transportation that we had. She had to take me to work. I worked over in Omaha at that point in time. She had to drive me to Omaha. We only had one car at that time. And she drove me to Omaha, drove back to work, and then she had to drive back to Omaha to pick me up later on. But our vehicle was stolen from us. And I tell you what, I don't like being robbed. It's not a fun feeling. And so Paul here is talking to Timothy, talking about holding fast. Someone or something will try to steal the truth from you. Here is why you see Paul urging Timothy to stand in his faith and love for Christ. Who would try to steal the truth from Timothy? And the obvious answer to this is going to be two particular groups of people. One that we know of is Satan. Satan's going to try to steal the truth from you. The other group of people that will begin to try to steal the truth from you will be false teachers, which is why they're false. When we are pulled away from our faith and our love for Jesus has declined, it'll make it easier for false teachers to come in and do what? Steal the truth from you. Which is why we need to stand fast. We need to hold fast the form of sound words. Many times in Scripture, Paul warns all of us of false teachers. Why? Because he was dealing with people going around preaching the falseness of the doctrine. So he warned many of us of false teachers. And he also urged us not to agree with their teachings. That is those of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to agree with his words. Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 3 through 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. Paul here is talking once again. It says these words. It says, if any man teach otherwise, again, this is going back to Paul giving us some warning of false teachers here. So just want to clarify that. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to, what are these words? Wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So Paul starts off for us to be aware of false teachers. Ephesians 4, chapter 14, let's go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 4, chapter number 14, we'll see some more scripture here. This verse will help us have a better understanding of these other verses that we just read here in 2 Timothy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14 says this, that we henceforth be no more children, what are these next four words? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to do what? To deceive. False teachers come in, they don't tell you the truth, they lie to you, but unfortunately on many occasions, because I'm not going to say all of God's people, I'm not going to say most of God's people, but some of God's people are not holding fast to the sound of pure words, they're not holding fast to the pure doctrine, and so because of that, these false teachers are able to come in and they give a little bit of truth. But some can fall into that and go off onto the wayside of getting involved in false teachings. So we are not to be tossed to and fro. We are to be stable, is a good word for us to use. Stable in our belief, standing strong in God's word and no one else's. Every time that you hear a lesson, let me say this, every time you hear a lesson from any pulpit, wherever you're at, you have a duty, you have an obligation to go back and study God's word for yourself. If you're not doing that, then something's wrong. I say this for this reason. I mess up. I say things incorrectly at times. Not purposely, though some may think that I'm saying it purposely. It's not done purposely, but your job is to go back and say, okay, I want to know the truth of this. And how is the truth going to be revealed? It's not going to be revealed through me, folks. It's going to be revealed through God's word. And so we have an obligation to go back, to get into God's word and see the truth for ourselves. every teacher slash pastor should be holding to the pattern of sound words. I've said this before, false teachers do not study the Word of God. They know enough, they've heard enough, but they don't study the Word of God. I gave you a little bit of an illustration last week of Benny Hinn's nephew, and I brought that up for a very good reason. Because Benny Hinn's nephew was not having the truth of God's Word spoken to him. And you know what took place? He was actually called to help come into another church to help this ministry out, and the pastor had him preach a message, but the pastor gave him this commentary to look at, and as he began to look at this commentary, he began to see things for the very first time of how true God's Word was. And he realized, because of the truth of God's Word, he realized through that his own uncle was not teaching correct doctrine. So every pastor, every teacher, should be holding fast to the pattern of sound words. Some people, they misquote and say things incorrectly at times, but to purposely teach falsely is corrupt. A few weeks ago, I may mention a man who readily took 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 out of context. Go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to say it again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, And I'm reiterating this morning because we need to understand what is out there. And this is talking about the death of Jesus. So verse number 21 says this. Let's back up to 20. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." First of all, is a false teacher an ambassador of Christ? No. Why is that? Because if you're teaching falsely, my personal belief is this: they don't have Christ in them. So they're not representing Christ. I just wanted to point that out there. Verse number 21 is the key here. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin." Does it say that it made him to sin for us? No, there's a guy out there that says Christ became a sinner committing those sins. So let's read this. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." First of all, we must understand that when Christ put himself on the cross, he did not partake in any of our fleshly sins, did he? No, he did not do those things. Yes, was he tempted just like any other man? Yes, he was tempted just like any other. Matter of fact, he was tempted far more than what we were or will ever be. But even with that being said, Jesus did not succumb to sin. He stayed true to his heavenly Father. And so there are many people out there that are teaching falsely that Jesus Christ became an actual sinner. And so I gave a name of a guy a few weeks ago by the name of Tom White. The Tom White, I misquoted that. It's actually Todd White. Todd White was saying this, and it's important for me to say this again. Todd White was saying this. He says, when Jesus put himself on the cross, and I know these words are going to might offend you, but these are not my words. I'm letting you be aware of what's actually out there. Because we're involved in our circle, we don't really believe that false teaching truly exists. But he said these words. He says, "Jesus Christ became a child molester." That's what he said. He said, "Jesus Christ became an adulterer." Said Jesus Christ became an alcoholic. Everything that you can think of what man has done, he was saying that Jesus Christ committed these sins. No, Jesus didn't commit our sins. That is a false teacher. You might ask, why do you even bother checking these people out? Because I'm here to warn you of these people. Because it's easy for us to get captivated with what they do. And I'm going to expose just a little bit how they're able to do these things. This verse doesn't say that Jesus became a sinner. It says he made him to be sin for us. And just as I heard your comments just a little bit ago, I was angry with the very thought that a so-called man of God would stand on a pulpit and preach out of God's word, and he would say these words saying, Jesus Christ became a child molester. No, that's not true. Well, what did he do? He took the sin upon him so that individuals will see the need that they need as Lord and Savior. But you know the interesting thing about this is, Jesus came to save child molesters. Jesus came to save the alcoholic. Jesus came to save the adulterer. He didn't follow up with any of those things. So he's teaching falsely. So I began to ask myself a question, and that question was this. How do people sit under this type of teaching? So I began to find myself doing a little bit more digging than I normally do. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think I found the answer. And I could be totally wrong, but this is what I have come up with. The first answer is obvious, and that is, say it with me, Satan. Okay? Satan. Satan, he is the deceiver, and he unfortunately has victories in the lives of people. How is he able to have victories in the lives of people? Because some people don't see the need to have sound words, have sound doctrine in their life. So the second one took me by surprise. And it came in the form of music. It came in the form of music. Music has a way to hypnotize you. And that is what they use when they are speaking. Is this turned on? So here's what takes place. I don't know how to play the piano. Just want to clarify that. So here's what takes place when they are doing their teaching. And I've been following this for many years, and it never dawned upon me what was actually taking place. And so here's what they do. I finally caught it with this guy. They just begin to, as the preacher's preaching, they're like this. I thought it was on. Got to turn it up. They just begin playing softly through the whole entire sermon. You see that, how that can just kind of draw you in to their teaching as they begin to talk softly. And the softer they talk, the softer it becomes, and it begins to hypnotize the individual. That's how they do it. I sat there and I was like, for a brief second, I listened to that. And I began to understand what was taking place. They're using music to hypnotize people and basically brainwash them. So this is what takes place in the background. Benny Hinn is very good at this. Benny Hinn will take almost 3 hours in one of his crusades. And as he's preaching, there's music playing. And then he gets up to a certain point. It takes him a long time to get up to a certain point. And all of a sudden he'll do this. Shh, 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 shh. Do you hear him? The music begins to go a little lightly. Jesus is here. And Jesus is about to do something very miraculous. And then I gave a little illustration last week, and here's what he does. He has a group of people that are strategically put in place in the front rows of the congregation. And he'll take off his jacket. I'm not going to do it again this week. He'll take off his jacket, and then he'll just swing it around, and all everybody in the front row, whether it be 15, 20 rows, a couple hundred people, they'll go, oh, and they'll all fall backwards. In a form of music, begins to captivate their hearts, and they fall into this. And then many people begin to come up on stage, strategically, by the way. and just all of a sudden begin to walk up and down the aisle. I've heard of stories where people say, hey, I brought my nephew here. He's got cancer in his side. He's got this growth that they say is cancerous, and they'll say, we can't do nothing. And they'll say, but we see what you're doing with these people in these wheelchairs, and they're getting up and they're walking around. We can't do nothing. Go to your doctor, see your doctor. But I thought you can heal. No, we really can't. That's what's taking place. So that's what's being taken place during these things. Playing on the emotions of people. And almost every false teacher uses this message. Which will lead me to my next point. And I know my next point might not be very popular. Many of the CCM, which is contemporary Christian music, comes out of these false churches. They come out of them. A lot of people like Elevation Music. A lot of people like Hillsong. Hillsong is a church that started years ago in Australia. The son took it over, and he began to endeavor into some weird stuff. And you can turn on the TV when they're on Saturday nights, and you can see the whole entire congregation of 20 to 25,000 people in the dark playing their music. And I tell you this, it looks satanic. But yet we sing their songs. Elevation Music is a group of people, I forget where they're at, but they basically believe in worshiping the dead. But yet we sing their songs. And I know many people listen to this music, and I'm not going to tell you what to do or what not to do. That's not my job. But here's what I'm going to say. Please, if you're one who listens to this music, please, please use spiritual discernment. I urge you to use spiritual discernment. I'm going to call out a group right now. Sidewalk Prophets. Many of you folks probably never heard of them, but the younger people do, and this is why I'm saying this. Younger people know these things. And I've heard one of their songs. I can't even tell you what it is. So I saw the Dove Awards about 5 years ago. I said, hey, this is the Dove Awards. We got Christian people here getting awards for the Christian songs that they sing. So I turn it on, and the next thing I know, I see the lead singer getting up on the piano. He's got his guitar, and he's just breaking his guitar over the piano and just stomping back and forth. And I'm thinking to myself, this dude looked like he just came out of an AC/DC concert. We need to use spiritual discernment. Most of these singers, most of these groups are not even believers. I'm going to call them what they really are. They're just entertainers singing a song written by someone else. They don't even hold to the pattern of sound words. They don't even cling to any type of doctrine at all. So, what can I do for you if you're going to continue to do this? One, I ask you to use spiritual discernment. Again, it's not my place to tell you what to listen to, what not to listen to. Matter of fact, I'll even go this further. It's not my way to tell you how to dress or what to wear or what not to wear. That's not my job. My job is just to tell you what Scripture says. So here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to look up their statement of faith. I encourage you to look up their statement of faith. Find out if they even have a testimony of being a believer. They use music to draw us away from the truth of God's word. The last several years, at our small arena here in town, there is an event that is called Winterfest. Many of us have heard of that. It gets advertised on our local stations. And here's what takes place. They bring in so many so-called Christian singers. And the stands, they're filled with people. But here's what takes place in these concerts. The concession stands are open. They're open so that we can go get a hot dog, maybe some popcorn, all those things. I'm going to stop right there. I don't understand why you'd want to go spend $35 on a drink, and pretzels, and a hot dog. I'm cheap nowadays. I just don't see that. I cringe when that takes place when we go to a baseball game or something like that. I'm like, why didn't we just eat at home? We could have had a hot dog that cost 98 cents. We could have put it on a piece of bread that cost $1.19. We could have put some ketchup on there that probably cost $2.49. But yeah, we're perfectly comfortable spending $35 on those things. Anyway, here's what takes place. Concession stands are open, and here's what's being done. Alcohol is being sold. And many people who are there to hear God's music get intoxicated, and they walk out drunk. Hold fast to sound words. Hold fast to sound words. Ephesians 5:18. Let's go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 5, chapter number 18. I'm going to hit on this just for a little bit. You guys know my stance on this, but here's what verse number 18 says. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." But what's it say? "But be filled with the Spirit." How can you go to a concert as that and get drunk with wine and be filled with the Spirit at the same time? It's not going to happen. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18 says the total opposite of what the world wants to teach you. Go ahead and turn to your book, the Proverbs, chapter number 20. Proverbs, chapter number 20. He's saying, well, Chad, that's just one verse. That's your perspective on things. No, this is God's word. This is God's perspective. This is God telling us what we're to do. Verse number 1 says this. Let's read it out loud. Verse number 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is what? Is not wise." It's the word of God. This isn't me saying this. This is the word of God. Many people will leave a church that has a strong stance on drinking alcohol. It happens because sound words have been stolen from them. I read a book several years ago titled "Why I Left CCM, Christian Contemporary Music." One thing that stood out to me was this. The sexual affairs that had taken place inside the church. I'm talking about the so-called worship team, seeing the young ladies that are involved in the church, having their eyes drawn to them. And as their eyes are drawn to them, the lust would come in, and then they would, out of nowhere, cheat on their spouse with a young person in church. By the way, what happens in a lot of these concerts? Well, Chad, how would you know? I've been to a few. I'm no dummy. But when women begin to dance around a little bit, it catches the eye of the man. And the man is drawn to certain things. And they begin to act out on their lust. Folks, this was not my intent to head this direction this week. But for some reason, God laid it upon my heart. It is important to hold fast to sound words. Don't allow the devil to use someone to steal it from you. Notice it says, go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. You're going to ask a question. I need to clarify. Chad, are you going to hate me if I listen? No. I'm not going to hate you. That's your decision. Are you going to think differently of me? No, I'm not going to think differently of you. That's your decision. I've come to understand some things in life. We all don't agree on the same thing. Yeah, we're taught from the same word of God, but none of us believe everything the same way. We all have different perspectives on things. I understand those things. So I just want to clarify that I will not think differently of anybody. So here's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 13, it says, "Hold fast the sound of former words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy's faithfulness has to be tempered with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Some people take God's word and consider it only an intellectual matter and leave out faith and love. Just letting you know, we're changing direction here. Faith and love describe how the truth is to be held. We hold in faith, truly believing it, and putting our lives on it, and we hold in love, not proud arrogance or self-seeking superiority. Verse number 14 says this, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by thy Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." The good thing which was committed unto thee. Timothy had something good committed to him. What was that? That was the gospel and the truth of God. And Timothy needed faithfulness to keep that thing going. Here's a list of some things that God has given us, that he's committed to us. One is his word. He's given us his word. The second thing that he's given us is his son. We're all here today, not because of somebody else. We're all here today because of Jesus Christ, of what he's done in our life. Meaning we realize that we are sinners on our way to hell. We cried out to God, said, "God, forgive me my sins. We need you in our lives." And he's given us his son. By the way, let me say this. Everywhere we go, because we're his, Christ is with us. He's with us. He's given us family. Thankful for family. He's given us talents. Well, why did he give us talents? So that we can use it for his glory. Okay? But we must be faithful to keep those good things in a way that brings glory and in a way that brings praise to Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to switch to scenery here just a little bit. Verses 15 through 18, there are three men that are mentioned. Two men that were mentioned weren't really well spoken of, but at the end there was a man that Paul loved. These two men did not remain faithful. And the other one ends with one who was faithful. He calls him out by name. And the first two, they're known as deserters. Not one who's seeking to have desserts, but deserters, one who's abandoned their faith. Deserters from the faith seek to accuse their own disgraceful conduct by inventing whatever accusations they can against faithful and upright ministers of the gospel. The last man was faithful to Paul. Not just faithful to Paul, but he's faithful to God. But Paul's going to do something here. Even through the most difficult times, this man was faithful. And Paul gives special recognition to him and recalls to Timothy of why he was so special. First, he asked the Lord to give him mercy. He asked the Lord to give him mercy. But here is the list that made him special. Number one, you can read it in here. Read on down through verse number 16, down through verse number 18. I'm just going to refresh you here. The first word is, he refreshed Paul. He refreshed Paul. The second was this. He wasn't ashamed of Paul. What did Paul ask Timothy last week? Not to be ashamed of Paul, the who? The prisoner. He wasn't ashamed of Paul. The third thing that he did, he always sought Paul out. And the fourth thing is very important for us to get. He ministered to Paul. We all need to be ministered to. Every single one of us. Whether it's through just a simple little phone call, simple little text, card, hug, we all need to be ministered to. And that just spoke volumes to Paul. He lived a life after salvation that was glorifying to God. I'm talking about Paul here. And he wanted the same for Timothy. So how do we do this? We hold fast to what? Sound words. And stay away from false teachings. Stay away from false teachings. You know why many pastors and churches will not put someone into a teaching role for the first 6 months to a year? Because they don't know who they are yet. And they care for the flock. And that individual that might say that they're saved can teach falsely and begin to pervert the people that they're teaching. Hold fast to sound words. By the way, I reject the teaching of Todd White. Because my Jesus is not a child molester. How do I know that? Because I'm holding fast to the sound words of Jesus Christ. That's how I know that. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see the truth of your word. We know that there are many people out there who don't teach the truth. God, I pray for them. I pray that you get a hold of their heart and their soul so that they can change their ways and so that they can see the truth. God, I pray that you continue to bless in this next hour to come. I thank you for your people that are here. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.